This ESPN Chicago podcast is presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Welcome to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Ready for the power play?
You're listening to The Hockey Show
on ESPN Chicago.
With Barstool Chief, a.k.a. Ryan Brandel. I am Pat Boyle. Our number is 312-332-3776. Good to be back with you, Chief. It's getting real. We're less than 3 weeks to that trade deadline. And I didn't sleep last night.
You did? Did not sleep last night. I got to say, I missed you last week. That intro, that radio voice, Pat Boyle coming in strong out of the gates here. So, I am. Like, I went to the game last night, had a great time.
Big crowd, Chief.
19 plus, enthusiastic. It was, and like the overtime win, the place was roaring. It felt great. And it's impossible. I know they're supposed to lose. I know I'm supposed to want them to lose. Seth Jones walks around a guy and snipes it, and then his brother gets a game winning goal. It's impossible not to get sucked into the environment, the moment. And, you know, I was thrilled. I was walking out of there in a good mood for the first time in a while.
So I was told there were a lot of new fans last night. Did you sense the same thing? I don't know how one would determine new fan, just not seeing, you know, like Bickle jerseys and you know, Saad and Hossa and Kane and Tate. I was like, really? New fans? How can you tell? But apparently things are working as far as some of the marketing techniques that they're doing. And
yeah, I think, you know, they had a themed night last night. Mm-hmm, I don't know if that's what they're talking about or I don't know how you would determine who's been a real fan or a new fan or what. Yeah. But it felt like I went to a game a long time ago. I think it was in Carolina. Mm-hmm. And you could tell who the new fans were then, because you would have like a cheer and then like a subsequent cheer, like, oh, they're cheering, I'm going to cheer too. And that was not, I didn't get that from the crowd last night, where it was like, oh, they're new, because they don't know what they're looking at. It just felt like one big happy Blackhawks family getting a W at home on a Friday night. So I don't know what they mean by new fans, but it felt like old times. I can certainly tell you that.
I was wondering if there were certain people being attracted to 1901 West Madison because, you know, the number of home games between now and the trade deadline.
Well, that would be old fans, if they're aware of that.
That's right. Yeah. So, and look, it got real this week. I thought Patrick Kane and the comments he made after Vlad Tarasenko was traded to the New York Rangers were very candid.
Yeah.
And if you were
stunningly so
on the fence of like, I don't know if he really wants to leave, he's ready to leave if the right opportunity is there. I mean, that to me was crystal clear.
Totally. Then why didn't he say so? You know, if the rate, like, that was one of those things where it's just like, you know, I tweeted out the video from the clip from The Notebook where they're arguing. It's like, what do you want? What do you want? Because it's the ball is in his court. So if he wants to be here, like I want him to be, then he'll be here. And if he wants to go to Boston, New York, Dallas, wherever he wants to go, all he has to do is say, trade me to the New York Rangers. And they will accommodate him as best they can. Now, the Rangers are likely out of the running.
They're out of the running, yes.
What if they got a third team involved? To eat another 25%.
Where do you think they're? I don't think it's the money. Even I think it's like, where are you gonna? And they were looking for a right wing on Panarin's line.
Yeah, I think they could. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, now we're just gonna bump whoever the second line right wing was, and we're gonna.
And then, by the way, Vlad scores 2 minutes into his New York Ranger career.
And if I'm sure this wasn't a part of the equation, but being able to call your top line the ATM line with Artemi, Tarasenko and Mika Zibanejad, the ATM line, cash money, that's a great line. Like that to me is like, well, we from a marketing standpoint, we just have to put those guys together.
Yeah, no question about it. So Patrick Kane was asked about Vlad Tarasenko being traded from St. Louis to the Rangers. Clearly, the Rangers were at the top of Kane's list of potential teams to be traded to. He wanted to be reunited with Artemi Panarin. Kane's initial response was, "It's not the happiest I've been to hear about a trade." I mean, if there's anything more telling than that, here's what else Kane had to say on the Rangers getting Tarasenko.
You know, I think the Rangers are a team that, you know, definitely pay attention to, intrigued by for, you know, obvious reasons. And, you know, obviously, you know, they made a move to get him and another big defenseman. So, you know, you got to respect them, you know, going on and trying to make the team better. If things are going to happen, I mean, you know, that was the team that I was definitely looking at. So, yeah, it seems like they kind of filled their void and went ahead and made a deal.
It is what it is. So, you know, you can hear the disappointment in his in his tone there. He clearly had it at the top. It seemed to be a likely fit from just, you know, the outsider's view. And he thinks the door is now closed. But again, they set the ground rules, right? You know, Patrick and his team, Pat Brisson, the super agent, said, look, we're going to make a decision around 10 days out of the deadline, and then teams will be able to bid. Well, if you're the Rangers, do you want to get into a bidding war? If the Tarasenko deal checked several boxes, the fact that it's a lower AAV, so you don't have, and you know, St. Louis is absorbing 50%, you're getting a first rounder and a fourth rounder.
They also got McCullough.
Yes.
Who's, I don't think he's really popped off this year the way that I was expecting. As a young defenseman, 6'5", he can skate. He'll help the Rangers too. So they got two guys that are going to help him.
So got a depth defenseman, obviously Tarasenko on that top line, and you know, I guess the question: do you think anything else played a role in this? Do you think that quote unquote nagging injury that he's been dealing with has anything to do with potential suitors not being as aggressive as they might have been?
I mean, maybe, but it also feels like that's something that you can, if you're at that stage of the process, you can have someone send over a medical, and your doctors can look at it, and then you can decide. Like that's very common. So if I don't think they ever got to that point. So my gut says that the hip and these nagging injuries, and I know that he's, you know, 34.
Just turned 34 in November.
Right. So he's 34. I know that he's probably slowed down a little bit.
But speed's never been his game.
Never really been his game. And when I watched him last night in person, I didn't see a guy who looked like he was unhealthy. He's still in the game the other night where he should have had multiple points.
Right.
And it was like, this guy still looks like a guy who should be getting 100 points if he had a team around him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It you know, like, I think people are looking for reasons why the production isn't slightly over a point per game, which we've been seeing for the bulk of the first 15 years. It's because, with all due respect, he's out there playing with, you know, Jason Dickinson. I mean, like,
and Jason Dickinson's done a nice job.
Slight against Jason Dickinson.
He's not Panarin. He's not DeBrincat. He's not Dylan Strome, who got paid. So I don't know if you saw that while you were in Mexico.
What do you expect? So Kane was asked if that whole injury thing is being overblown. Here's what Patrick had to say about that.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure what the story is out there, to be honest with you, but I would say my issue could. I mean, I think I feel better than I did last year. I had, you know, pretty good season last year. So it's just one of those things. I think maybe the story leaks out and it piles up a little bit.
Yeah. Again, I think initially after he took that hit a few weeks ago, I think that next game or two, and he sat out one of them. Mm-hmm. I think it was an issue, but I think he has received, you know, excellent treatment. I think they've got a routine down now, and I think he is as healthy as he's been the last few years. And if you look at the last few years, the production's been there.
What do you have, 92 points last year?
Yes.
Okay. 92 points when he had Strom and DeBrincat.
On a bad team with only one line to worry about.
Right.
From the opposition standpoint.
Exactly. So you have the toughest matchup every night. The other part of just being on a bad team is you're going to be hemmed in your own zone a lot. You just get fewer kicks at the can.
Yes.
I really believe that if Patrick Kane were on even an average team, he's still a 100-point player. Easy. So, and this is not like his shooting percentage is way down. I think he's not getting pucks in the areas that he's used to and with enough time. It's just he's not surrounded by the right type of guys, and that's why his production is down. But I guarantee you, if he got traded to Dallas or wherever, he would explode in short order with a ton of points because that's what he does. And if, you know, I'm hardly like a biomechanical expert, but when
I'm not,
but I've watched basically probably 98% of Patrick Kane's games since 2007. He doesn't look that different to me. Like he looks like Patrick Kane, a guy who's going to put up points if given the right opportunity.
How about, you know, two games ago when they're playing the Ducks and he starts in front of his own net and goes 200 feet on the forecheck and helps cause a turnover and then sets up Dickinson from below the goal line. Like, that to me, you know, that's where actually his game's evolved a little bit.
Totally.
You know, he's not cherry-picking or cheating, as we like to say in the business,
yeah,
like he did early on in his career.
I had a conversation, this is years ago, with Patrick Sharp. And I asked Sharp, because I think Kane, in a way, is better than he was. He's better in a way now than he was when they were winning cups. Like, his game, he's matured. His game's matured. He's thinking at, like, an Einstein-level hockey IQ.
Right.
And I was like, hey, like, if you were in your prime playing with Patrick Kane how he is now, how many goals would you score? He goes, oh, I'd score 60, 65. And he was not joking, because Kane is that special, and he's that good. And Sharpie believes in himself too, but it's like, but that's how dynamic and like he just sees he's 3-4 chess moves ahead of everybody.
Oh, there's no question about that.
And so I really believe that if he were in a better situation, he would be having Patrick Kane numbers because he's a special athlete.
That's why I think getting beat to the punch to New York is upsetting him, because he's always one step ahead of the game.
Yeah,
and they decided to go a different route.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to commend him for not blaming, you know, Kyle Davidson or the Blackhawks for the deal not getting done with the New York Rangers. They have not gone to Kyle and the Blackhawks as of yet and give him that list. Now, this may have
expedited things. Put them on that group chat.
So here's Patrick Kane on his communication with Kyle, and that it's not the fall of the Blackhawks, that he has not been moved as of yet.
In fairness to Kyle, I haven't went to Kyle and said I want to go here. I want to stay. I haven't done any of that yet. So it's like, you know, I mean, I think we kind of said we take it up to the deadline, and it's, you know, February 11th or 12th or whatever it is, and you know, there's still a few weeks, so I think, like I said, within the next 10 days or so, we probably get a clear picture of what's going to happen.
So, you know, he's makes it crystal clear that this is on them, the fact that they haven't given the Blackhawks a list of teams. I think this week that list is coming through.
Yeah.
If it hasn't already,
and if he wants to. Like, I think there is
Chief, when you hear his response to the Tarasenko, I think, and I've been on this where I think if the right opportunity is there, he wants to go.
Yeah, but I think it's like anything else where it's like, you know, I'm thinking of leaving my job or whatever, and it's like I'm looking at these other things, and then that one of those opportunities, or you're buying a house and you like it and you're wrestling with things, someone came in and scooped it. It's like, man, if I was going to move, it would have been nice to have that option, but I'm not sure I want to move. And I still think that that could be part of the situation. And if he felt so passionately about the Rangers, he'd be a Ranger. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no, like, hurdles other than him saying, I want to go somewhere, and for sure. Like, that's what it is. If he wanted to be a Ranger, he'd be a Ranger. But he didn't say that soon enough. So the Rangers, you know, credit to them. Like, they're in a hunt. Like, they're in cup mode. They've been playing well the last 2 months, and it's like, hey, we
ever since the Hawks went there and beat him.
You're right. And I was, and I think I declared, I said they're not good enough to trade for Patrick Kane was my quote at the time, and they've really turned it around. They're looking like a
they showed you they went and got Vlad Tarasenko.
They're a strong team now, and so yeah, I think if he wanted to be there, he'd be there. But and the Rangers, you know, if they're jockeying for playoff position in the East, where I think it's very important because it's a loaded, very deep conference, well, they're going to make their move now. So they get Tarasenko for, I don't know, probably, what, another 8 games probably versus trading for somebody on deadline day. So that matters. That could be another 10 points in the standings.
All right, we got a great show. Your thoughts on Patrick Kane and his possible next landing spot less than 3 weeks before the trade deadline. 312-332-3776. What is going on with Jonathan Toews? The very latest on that. How about this guest list? Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, the NHL insider extraordinaire, on his busiest day of the week, he's carving out time to join the hockey show on ESPN 1000.
What a guy. I mean, how many cell phones does he have? Is he
probably five?
We'll have to ask him that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Elliot Friedman joins us at the bottom of the hour. We're brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, and we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to Star Wars Night at Allstate Arena between the Wolves and Cleveland Monsters. That's on February 18th. Star Wars Night ticket packages are available at ChicagoWolves.com. Be caller number 5 right now, and you win a 4-pack to Star Wars Night on February 18th at Allstate. That's all coming up next. Caller number 5, 312-332-3776. You're going to the Wolves game on February 18th. What's the latest on Jonathan Toews? That's next. This is The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Our number is 312-332-3776. You can also listen to us on the ESPN Chicago app. All our podcasts are there. Charlie Bevins will make sure today's is up a little bit later on, like he always does. And we've got a great show. We've got Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. He'll join us. What is he hearing about the future of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews? You know, Chief, tonight will be the 5th game that Toews misses since early December. He is back in Chicago, did not travel with the team to Winnipeg for tonight's game, his hometown.
Yep.
And he's been working off ice the last couple days. I assume he probably skated on his own today. But what do you make of, you know, the non-COVID illness now that has happened a few times? Now, he's over the illness, but he's still
lingering
not
effects.
Ready. Well, he's not he's not game ready, however you want to put that.
Yeah, I mean, could it be a fitness thing? Like, I don't know. It is, like, I think it's one of those things where your mind always goes to the worst place. At least that's how my mind works. But it's like, you know, he missed that full year with some kind of mystery. What do they call it? Like an immune response. So I can't remember exactly how they detailed that, but it reminds you kind of the way they're tight-lipped about it, and it's kind of a mystery. It's at this point, it's just like, I hope he's okay. Like,
right, because, exactly.
Because obviously, like, I think it's safe to say that he's not getting traded. I don't even really care about that. It's almost like, I hope he's healthy, because if this is the same thing, that they haven't cracked the code of what's actually wrong with him, then that's above anything going on or off the ice. I just hope he's good. I hope he's good to go.
Yeah. I mean, what they were giving the term to what he was dealing with a couple years back was chronic inflammatory response syndrome. So I don't, you know, we don't know what that means as far as what he's dealing with right now, but we are, you know, less than 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. We know his situation, his deal is up just like Patrick's. We know his trade value is not where 88's is, but, you know, every night there's 8, 9, 10 scouts on hand watching the Blackhawks play whoever. Now, sometimes they're there for the opposition, like they were probably last night.
A lot of Chychrun lovers.
A lot of Chychrun.
Yeah. Although he did not look good last night.
No.
Not a great showing for Jacob Chychrun.
So what do you think it means for 19's trade value with this kind of uncertainty and him not simply not being on the ice?
Yeah, I think it definitely hurts, okay? And if it is like this mystery illness, like we talked about Kane's thing is the hip, well, you can have concrete medicals and MRIs and doctor reports on something like that. If you don't know what the problem is, what team would give up any sort of asset, and cap space is an asset as well, to bring in a guy who's such a question mark because of this thing? So I didn't think he was going to get traded before, because I thought the number was too big for what he was and he'd have to find another team, and it's just like, it's just not worth it. So I never thought he was moving, but I think that you can pretty much close the door on any Taves moves. That's how it feels, given this health. I could be wrong. I'm wrong about things all the time.
I would agree with you on that. I mean, look, if let's say he returns, they're going to play Montreal and Toronto on Tuesday and Wednesday nights back to back. Wednesday they'll play on national TV. I think there's a chance he plays in Montreal.
Okay.
If he strings together a few good performances, I think that might generate some interest, but I couldn't see a general manager offering any more than a conditional third something like that. And then at that point, if you're Kyle Davidson, mm-hmm. are you...
What's the point? Unless same situation, like Taves, if the other team, and I think it would have to be teams, okay, because I don't think anybody's going to be like, yeah, sign me up for a $5 million Jonathan Taves, you're going to have to 50%, so... 2.5, but that probably makes some sense. So you'd have to be like, hey, like the Hawks get a conditional third, team X, let's just make it up. It's Arizona. You guys take 50% and you get a conditional fifth rounder in 2024 from the Blackhawks, and then Taves goes to wherever he goes. I think that's probably the only deal structure, but it's not going to be some haul for him. But if he wants to go and teams want him, and they should accommodate him as best they can to make it happen. But I do think that there is still a chance that Patrick Kane is here next year. I don't think that Taves is going to be here. That's kind of that's the way it looks to me, just kind of reading tea leaves and what he says and, you know, what the team says. And it's just, it feels like, at least for Johnny, we're reaching the end of the road.
And I hope, like you said, and we started talking about this, I hope he's okay. And I hope he's going to see the right people, and they're getting to the bottom of whatever he's dealing with. Mm-hmm. Because this has been kind of a big question mark around him for a few years now. And I know that's got to be unsettling for him. Look, depending on where this is at, there may not be a next year anywhere. You know, he may be calling it...
Yeah. Which I hope not.
I hope not too.
It would be devastating for a guy who's dedicated his life to hockey to have his ending taken out of his control. It's out of everybody's control. Everybody has to get off the bus eventually, but you wouldn't want it to be for some mystery illness that keep, you know, like if he says he thinks he's got a few years left in him, I would love to see him go on a if he wants, go on like a Joe Thornton tour where he's like, you know, I'm in Tampa, I'm in Toronto, I'm in, you know, like just go different places and ride out your career and play as long as you can, because once you're done, you're done.
So you were at the game last night and you watched the Blackhawks come from behind and beat Arizona in overtime. But while you were there, you were keeping an eye on some of the prospects for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Frankie Nazar was on the ice for the first time with Michigan yesterday since his injury.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get an update? Did you see how he played or any?
Yeah, I saw that he had a few moments. Okay, where it was like, whew, you see the burst, you see the skill, you see the brain, but all indications. And I talked to a couple people who are in the Michigan program. Say he had some understandable rust on him, but when he takes off, man, does he fly! Like, and you could see it. Like, it almost reminds me when you see like highlights or a couple moments of last night's game. He goes through the neutral zone, and like, you think it's Marion Gabrick. Remember how Gabrick used to just explode through the neutral zone? And Nazar, and he doesn't take it wide. He wants to play in the middle of the ice, so he cuts inside guys, and it's like, this guy is a fearless guy who goes 100 miles an hour.
And your man crush on Adam Fantilli continues to blossom.
Off the charts. Off the charts, because... You know, there had a you might hate him now after the stunt he pulled against Michigan State.
Yeah, look, I saw a lot of chatter. Obviously, I was preoccupied doing the post game show. There was a little Michigan State angst on the ice.
A little bit of a melee. He got kicked out, and he's out for tonight's game too. but he doesn't take any guff, we'll say.
Yeah.
And so he gave it back, and then they got
in his face. And, of course, only Chief's like, is there a way to get the two top picks?
obviously tongue-in-cheek, but...
I know, of course. Yeah. I know it's tongue-in-cheek, right. But I mean, like, you
just
know.
Just trade everyone, get extra lottery balls, hold somebody hostage.
Somehow.
Yeah, because obviously it's Bedard, right? It's Bedard. Unbelievable offense. Fantilli can do everything. And he might be more like a McKinnon type than where Bedard is more kind of just pure offense, where Fantilli just, you want to play physical, he can do that. You want to play an up-tempo game, he can definitely do that. He's got skill, he's got the shot, he's mean, he likes to hit people, gets in people's face. He is, to me, like, he's a hockey player created in a lab. If I was the mad scientist, that's what I would create. A guy with a little extra snarl.
Coming up, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada joins us. The very latest on Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. It's The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Blackhawks in Winnipeg tonight. Quick turnaround. Boys got to the hotel a little before 3 a.m.
Late night.
Yeah, 8:30 pregame show on NBC Sports Chicago. Also be the second game on Hockey Night in Canada. And joining us now, NHL insider extraordinaire, Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, the podcast. You'll see him tonight on Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot Friedman, he joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. How you doing today, Elliot?
I'm good, Pat, Chief. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're, you know, less than 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. We've been talking about Kane and Taves' futures for a couple years.
Don't speak for me. Okay. My blood pressure's through the roof ahead of the trade deadline.
He didn't sleep, Elliot, last night. But let's start there with Kane's reaction to the Tarasenko trade. He said it's not the happiest he's been to hear about a trade. It was clear he was intrigued to be reunited with Artemi Panarin. Did Kane and his camp, or Son, did their desire to wait to get closer to the deadline kind of take him out of the running with the Rangers?
I don't think it's that simple. I think there's a couple of things at play here. First of all, I appreciate Kane being honest. Like, we rip hockey players sometimes for being a little too boring and being afraid to say something, so I'm never going to criticize someone who comes out and says, all right, today I'm spilling the truth. So I do appreciate that about Kane. I think there was a couple of things at play here. Number one, if you'll take a look at Tarasenko, one of the things that the Rangers knew was that they could acquire him a little bit earlier because of his cap number. You know, Kane's at 10.5. Tarasenko, I think, is at 7.5. So with Tarasenko 50% retained, it was 3.75. If you want to do that with Kane, you've got to pay off another team to go do it. And I just think that the Rangers knew. I think they wanted to get their guy in quick, and I think they knew there was more flexibility to do it with Tarasenko than there was with Kane, because that's one of the factors I heard that was an issue. The other thing is, too, like, I know Kane, he got a little upset yesterday when he was asked about the hip. Like, it's a thing. And I think people are watching him closely, and, you know, you look like he isn't able to practice full time. He hasn't been able to go all out all the time. And I don't think anybody feel like I've written this and I've said it at All-Star. I had guys tell me that they can see that Kane is really gutting it out because, you know, he knows this is a big trade for the Blackhawks, and I think he wants to compete. But I do think the Rangers were concerned about it. I don't think they're the only ones. I think those two factors, the cap hit and the hip, were the reasons that the Rangers went elsewhere. Like, I think even if they could have traded for Kane the other day, I'm not convinced he would have been their first choice.
Wow. That's interesting, because he did say, as part of that, you know, media scrum rant, that he feels better now than he did last year. So it's like, we applaud him for the honesty, but was that honest? Because he had 92 points last year. So I'm wondering if he is actually as this thing where he's gutting it out. Like I don't see that when I watch him. So I'm surprised to hear that. Do you think that Taves and Kane sharing an agent has complicated this process at all?
I don't think that. I don't think that that's happened. However, I don't think that the agent sharing it is, because it's two different people, right? Mm-hmm. I think the thing that with Kane was that he's upset about is two things. Number one, I think the Rangers were his team. I don't think there's, like, I believe that going into this season, and there's nothing he said the other day that made me think any differently. I absolutely feel the Rangers were his team. And I think he's disappointed. So that's where that comes from. Number two, and I think the thing that he's also disappointed about, is this issue with the hip. He obviously he feels he can play. And obviously he feels, like, I take him at his word, he says he feels better. But, you know, I think there are teams concerned. And maybe he feels better, but maybe the team sees something else that concerns them. So I think the factor here that he's upset about is that, one, the hip was used as a reason because he obviously doesn't feel it should be a reason. And two, that he wanted to go to New York.
Elliot Friedman joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. So with the Rangers out, what does the trade market look like for Kane now?
I don't know. I think it depends on where he wants to go. Like, does he want to go somewhere else? Like, I think, like to me, this week was a little bit of a reset. Okay, the Rangers are out. What else is out there for him?
Elliot, I think he wants, like, his reaction to the Rangers, and I completely agree with you. I think the Rangers were his number one target coming into the season, and everything he said yesterday leads you to that. I do think his list is small. Like, Calgary could use him. I don't think he's going to Calgary. But, I mean, I think maybe Dallas is intriguing. I guess maybe Vegas could be intriguing to him. But I see big market team as a possible landing spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the big question, is where else does he want to go? I haven't spoken to Patrick, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but there are some people who believe before that it was Rangers or bust. And I had people texting me saying, see, it was Rangers or bust. Now, I don't know if that's true, but we're going to find out. I think the other thing is going to be like Edmonton is a team that's had interest in him before. I'm just not sure if they can do it, and how does he feel about it? The other team I've kind of wondered at times this year is Vegas, and they have some room now. But again, how do they feel about it, and how does he feel about it? I think that becomes the question, is, was it Rangers or bust, or is there someone else that appeals to him?
What do you think this will impact? Do you think there's a chance that he comes back in the summer after a two-month, three-month trip to Dallas or wherever? Do you think that he would come back to Chicago if they offered?
I think the biggest question is, what does Chicago think about that? As you guys know, I've kind of wondered if that was going to be a scenario that was going to put out there. I think I said that in January. Like, could we have a situation where if he needs to have a procedure done, he goes and gets it done and plays for the Blackhawks again next year? I don't believe that Taves or Kane have ever wanted to leave Chicago. I think if they could continue to play, I mean, I'll say this, like, the realization of what the team is going through, I think it's been an eye-opener to a lot of people. Like, nobody likes to lose, and we all know that Chicago's in a rebuild, and that's not an easy adjustment when you're used to winning. But I think the other thing here, too, is that I think those guys, they love being Blackhawks, and I don't know that they ever wanted to leave. But I think the bigger question is, do the Blackhawks want to start a new era? And, you know, I mean, I think the question, that question isn't only theirs. Like, it takes, you have to have a team that wants to do it, and you have to have a player that wants to do it. And I'm just wondering if the Blackhawks are like, you know what, we've got to start a new era.
Tonight is going to be the fifth game since early December that Jonathan Toews will miss. And you know it's been termed the non-COVID illness. So he's been at the facility the last couple days working off ice. We're assuming today he skated on his own, did not travel with the team to Winnipeg. Not sure if he'll show up in Montreal on Tuesday or Toronto on Wednesday. What are you hearing about what is going on with Toews?
I think with Toews, like you always want to be careful with this kind of stuff because he's been through a lot, obviously. I heard he went for tests last week. And, you know, both his representatives and the team have been very careful about admitting that or even discussing that. But I heard he went for tests last week to try to figure out what exactly it was. And I don't think we know here until he comes back and plays. And obviously he's not going to play this weekend. I think it's a little bit of uncertainty here. I have to say that I think today, Saturday at 1:45 Chicago time, I think that's a really difficult question to answer until we know exactly what his condition is.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, let's shift away from the big boys. What are you hearing about McCabe, Domi, and kind of some of these extra players that have been linked to various teams this time of year?
Well, I do think there's some interest in McCabe. Look, he's a good player.
Yeah.
And, a guy, I spoke to one team in particular that they just said, like, a couple years ago, they felt that, McCabe was a really good player, but some teams backed away from him because he couldn't stay healthy. But nobody questions his ability. And I think the question is, what's the price? What are the Blackhawks willing to do? The Blackhawks are asking a very big price. The thing is right now is, in a lot of ways right now, I think this is a real buyer's market. Like, there's some guys that teams are really after, like Meyer from San Jose, but there's other guys where you probably have your pick of two to three or four guys, and you can pick which one you think is the best price. And I think McCabe is kind of in that class. He's a good player, but there's a bunch of defensemen out there. So you can decide what you want in terms of price and what kind of contract situation. But I do like him. One of the teams I've wondered about for him is L.A. I know they're looking for a left-hand defenseman. They've been in on Chychrun. They haven't been able to close that. I think they've looked at some other guys like Gavrikov and McCabe. Like, that one makes a lot of sense to me as a potential partner, and LA's got to decide what it wants to do. But I definitely think he's out there. And again, this is going to come down to what the Blackhawks want and are willing to do for that price. I think Domi's a really interesting one. I think I think he's in the same place as a lot of other players. I think Domi would like to stay in Chicago. He's bounced around a lot. I think his preference is to stop bouncing around and find a home, and I think he really likes it there. But there's a lot of, quote-unquote, Domi-type players out there. And again, that's going to come down to fit and price.
Look, they won't get what they got for Brandon Hagel last year, but could Sam Lafferty draw some kind of interest like that? Like, under contract, not making a lot, speed. He's a bottom six guy, but he's playing in a middle six role with the Hawks right now. But he could really bolster a bottom six in a playoff run.
Well, I did get told, someone texted me today because it's Saturday. So, as you said, I'm working Hockey Night then, so I'm making all my calls. And someone said to me, I'm trying to figure out who has better PR in this league, Sam Lafferty or Ivan Barbashev, because those guys are getting talked up a lot. I do think there's interest in Lafferty. I do. I think that in a tight cap world, having him signed for next year, that makes him very attractive. I do think a number of teams and good teams have called Chicago on him. One hinted to me, they wouldn't tell me exactly, but they got an impression from Chicago that the ask was going to be more than they were willing to pay. Like, Chicago was trying to hit a home run, which they should. I think there's definitely interest, and we'll see where it goes. But yes, there are good teams who like that player.
All right. Elliot, last one for me. I know besides the NHL, you're a huge NBA fan. You look at the NBA trade deadline. Woj just dropping bombs left and right. We want Frege bombs. Yeah. We want Frege bombs. You get massive stars being traded in the NBA. NHL, yeah, not so much. So what can be done to do that? Is it the soft cap? Is it a luxury tax? How can we create more movement and interest around the league? Or do you like it the way it is right now?
No, I think, like, actually, I wrote this after the Board of Governors meeting in December. I just don't think it's good for the sport, the perception of your sport, when you have guys like, I understand the economics aren't the same, and I'm not blind to that. But when you have, you know, Aaron Judge signing for $360 million and, you know, and the craziness of the NBA trade deadline, it makes your sport look healthy. And, you know, I know there's some people in hockey who really hate trade rumors. They really hate putting people's families through things like that. And I get all that. But the discourse is healthy for the sport. And people really like it. And I think that I wish that this summer, the league and the Players Association, like, I think the money that the players owe to the league post-COVID is going to be paid out early next season. I don't think it's going to be early enough to get the cap up for next year. But the one thing I think you can do is you can discuss, are there ways we can move the cap up? And I wish the NHL was, and the Players Association, were more proactive about that kind of thing. I think the fans love it. I think it drives interest in your sport. And, you know, I think when you, like I said, when you have these huge contracts coming out in other sports, that creates positive buzz. It makes your sport look healthy. And I do wish we had a little bit more of that.
What color Jack Victor suit are you wearing tonight?
Tonight is blue.
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 All right.
Yes.
We'll be watching. Elliot, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us. I really appreciate it.
All right. My pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
It's Elliot Friedman, NHL insider extraordinaire, joining us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're back to wrap things up after this.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. On the AM. At 1000. On the FM. At 100.3 HD2. On your phone. Through the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 on a sun splash day. 48 degrees. In February in
Chicago.
Patio
weather. I'm taking the dog to a patio.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Beautiful.
So that's what, on your agenda, dog, patio.
I think so.
Watch some sporting events.
End of the Stars Lightning game here. Maybe a Stanley Cup final preview. You never know.
Yeah. See, this is where the NHL, like, you know, they got a noon face-off with two of the best teams in the league. Who is home watching this right now?
Maybe if you're going through football withdrawals or something. I don't know. But
I love you.
I wish this was a primetime game. They got to market a little bit better because these are two awesome teams with big-time star players. And I feel like nobody knows about them. Like, nobody knows about the Dallas Stars. They're a great team.
I think right now there's what? Probably two to three teams that you would put money on in the West.
I did put money on Dallas. Yesterday, plus okay. 1,500 to win the cup.
Nice.
So I do like Dallas, especially if they add, I don't know, a right winger. I think that could take them over the top. That's a right winger in the top six. So I don't know. I can't think of a name who would fit well there. But that's kind of what they need to take them to the next level. And then a healthy Colorado. I'm not buying into Vegas. But if it's hard to be like, well, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, all, you know,
yeah,
Landeskog, they got a lot.
Give the
guys.
Oilers any chance if they make the right moves at the deadline? Or
I think they need too much.
Yeah,
it's like it might be a thing like last year where if McDavid does it almost by himself, then maybe. But I think it's too, like, Dallas is too deep.
And again, that's why I'd like to see more movement, because right now McDavid and Draisaitl are being held hostage in Edmonton.
Yes, but I actually don't agree with that.
Okay.
And Elliot and you would know more than me about how the perception of how it looks healthy. How are you supposed to, like, if you're a Nets fan, how are you feeling right now? You bought
not
season
good.
Tickets, and now it's Durant, and they don't
have you seen the nine picks they got?
Yeah, but like, well, I'm going to go back to Brooklyn in 2032 when they're good again. And it's like the NBA is like, you need stars. So really what you acquired was, well, maybe we can trade these for the next time there's a disgruntled star who wants out.
I think there's always one of those.
And so. But I think stability can be marketed as a good thing. Like Larry Bird and Magic never moved and the league was fine. And Jordan never moved and the league was fine.
The Kane and Taves 16 years in one city is an anomaly. I get it.
It's an anomaly, but it's also special.
It is special.
Yeah.
It totally is.
Right.
Look, our thanks to Elliot Friedman. Charlie Bivens is our great producer. We do have one more four-pack of tickets to give away to the Wolves game on February 18th at Star Wars Night as the Wolves take on the Cleveland Monsters at 7 o'clock at Allstate Arena. Be caller 5, and you win a four-pack of tickets, 312-332-3776. White Sox Weekly is in the on-deck circle. What was your biggest takeaway from our conversation with Elliot Friedman?
That, you know, this Kane thing is just so complex and confusing. I was surprised that there was as much traction about the hip from other teams that he's hearing around the league. That was concerning. But part of me, now that he's, you know, we went to a commercial break, I thought about it a little bit. Could that just be teams posturing to be like, we can't really give you a first and a prospect, maybe just the prospect or maybe just the first because we don't trust his medicals. And that could just be like a negotiating ploy. I don't know, because like we said at the open, I don't see much difference. And the difference I see is less kicks of the can and less guys that know how to play with him. And if you credit, you know, we talk about Jason Dickinson. Jason Dickinson is a guy who knows who he is. He plays in straight lines and he goes to the net and he uses his feet to kind of create lanes, almost like how Anisimov used to do. The only difference is they don't have a Panarin across the seam for him.
There's that.
That's a problem. So I really think that Kaner is still a 100-point guy, one of the best right wings in the league, and you would be lucky to have him. And if you're the other thing is, if it's only for 2 or 3 months, what do you care about his hip anyways? Just run the tread off that tire through June and then say, thank you very much for your service. Good luck in your future. You don't have to worry about the hip. You know, so if you're in cup mode, if I was Dallas, I would be signing up for Patrick Kane and giving up what it took.
Well, I think we're going to find out here in the next week what that list is.
Because yeah.
I think the New York thing changed, expedited mm-hmm. things a little bit. He said 10 days from Thursday. So maybe next week at this time, we're talking about Patrick Kane being traded to another team. So we'll see what happens.
We're right at the goal line here. So
Blackhawks taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. I'll have the pregame on NBC Sports Chicago at 8:30 with Colby and Scott Darling. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Hockey Show. White Sox Weekly is coming your way next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next time.